Belt tightening for the deficit. The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Cheryl Glazer. The House of Representatives passed a bill early this morning taking aim at the budget deficit. It would whack about $50 billion from the deficit by the end of the decade. But the bill also calls for cutting funding or reining in the growth of politically sensitive programs like Medicaid, food stamps, and student loan subsidies. Now the House has to reconcile that bill with a more modest cost-cutting plan approved by the Senate. Remember those bridges to nowhere? Congress is putting the finishing touches on legislation that may delete the funding for the now infamous Alaskan bridges. But as Marketplace's Hillary Wickay explains, that doesn't mean taxpayers will be off the hook.
The two bridges to thinly populated areas in Alaska, ballyhooed as the saltiest pork to come out of Washington in a while, got a lot of attention after Hurricane Katrina. Republican Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska even threatened to quit when a proposed amendment would have steered the $454 million from the Alaskan bridges to New Orleans. So why isn't he stomping off now that the final 2006 transportation spending bill may delete the bridges' earmarks? Well, because Alaska would keep the money. Keith Ashdown is with the budget watchdog group Taxpayers for Common Sense. He says to take it back, you'd have to reopen complicated state funding formulas for all states.
They were already 2 years late in getting the highway bill done, and to open up the formula again would be committing legislative Harry Carey.
Republican leaders hope to have the plan on the president's desk soon. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
Liz Claiborne is trying J.Jill on for size. Claiborne has reportedly made a bid for the fellow women's clothing retailer. The $366 million offer is a 40% premium over J.Jill's shares. Word is J.Jill could help Claiborne market to women of a certain age over 35. The biggest shopping day of the year, Black Friday, is still a week away, but you can find out what's going to be on sale right now. At least that's what a few sneaky websites are promising. Marketplace's Scott Jagow has the lowdown.
Sites like BlackFridayAds.com are giving shoppers a head start on mall madness. They're revealing the big sale prices from stores like Target and Best Buy. 21-year-old Alan Smolik runs the site.
I've had actual companies that submitted the information themselves or through their employees.
But Mike Gaddy with the Retail Advertising and Marketing Association is skeptical.
These guys may think they're doing the consumer a service, but really they're printing basically unverified gossip.
Sears sent BlackFridayAds.com a cease and desist letter, and the website took down its list. Retail analyst Candice Corlett says stores may have to start locking their sale prices in a vault.
It's one thing to let the shoppers know, but these websites are letting the competition know.
And with more than a week's notice, that gives stores plenty of time to undercut each other. I'm Scott Jagow for Marketplace.
GM is not running on fumes. In a letter to employees yesterday, General Motors CEO Rick Wagoner said the carmaker is going through a rough patch, but he said talk that GM's headed for bankruptcy is overblown. That sent General Motors stock charging up more than 6%, and the rest of the market went along for the ride. The Dow climbed 45 points, or 0.4%, to wrap up at 10,720. The NASDAQ added 32 points, 1.4%. This is Marketplace. The FDA puts a black box warning on medications that might have serious side effects. But as Helen Palmer reports from the Marketplace Health Desk at WGBH, doctors have no problem prescribing them.
Harvard Medical School researchers surveyed nearly a million patients and found that 42% of them were prescribed drugs that carried a black box warning. But patients didn't always get tests the FDA advised before taking these drugs. For one seizure medicine, only half of patients were given a recommended liver function test. Researcher Anita Wagner of Harvard's Department of Ambulatory Care says physicians may not be aware of these warnings.
A great many drugs that are used frequently carry these black box warnings, so that makes it very hard for prescribers to pay attention to them all.
Wagner says the wording is often complex and conditional, but when it was clear and unequivocal, do not take this drug if you are pregnant, doctors followed it 100% of the time. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
And you are listening to American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Toyota, designing vehicles with hybrid synergy drive for fuel efficiency and low emissions. More at toyota.com. Toyota, moving forward. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Cheryl Glazer. President Bush arrives in Beijing tomorrow. He's got a boatload of issues he wants to take up with Chinese officials. That country's huge trade surplus, for starters. And then there's currency reform, music and movie piracy, human rights. So what do the Chinese people make of all that? And how do they feel about the U.S.? We asked reporter Ruth Kirshner to hit the streets of Beijing and do a little research.
It's Friday night, and on the campus of Renmin University, hundreds of students gather for the sole purpose of improving their English. They have strong views about America and President Bush.
I think America is a powerful country, but American people need to respect other people in the world.
America is a very open and modern country. Sometimes they like international policemen. I don't like that.
But among the crowd, there's also deep admiration for America. John Rutledge is with the Mandel International University for Entrepreneurship. He says many Chinese hate American politics, but they love American business.
They admire the success of Americans in creating wealth. They admire the brand names, the quality of the products. And that's the target on the wall for them in all the work they're doing. And I think that they're fast catching up.
The Chinese have little sympathy for America's complaints about Chinese goods flooding the U.S. Wu Jianmin is the president of the Foreign Affairs University.
We have a large trade surplus with the U.S. And so what? This trade surplus goes back to the U.S. to buy the T-bonds, to fill your double deficits.
Professor Jia Zinguo of Beijing University also rejects the idea that the trade surplus with the U.S. and the weak yuan are costing American jobs.
The loss of job in the U.S. is more probably attributable to the process of globalization rather than, you know, the development of China. In fact, American companies are making more money in China than probably in any other place in the world.
But business links are one thing, political relations quite another. John Rutledge says it's not in China's interest to reduce its trade deficit or revalue its currency.
China has the best performing economy in the world since 1997. China's inflation rate is lower than the American inflation rate. They've grown 9% a year. So if it's not broken, don't fix it.
Back at Renmin University, students say they welcome President Bush, but they also have some advice for him.
I would tell him if he had seen the changes in China, he won't say it's unfair in the economic trade.
In Beijing, I'm Ruth Kirshner for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Cheryl Glazer. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
In today's economic climate,
the world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.